Hey, it's a busy holiday week, and during this week, we are bringing you a look back at some of the most compelling stories and conversations we've covered for you in 2024. It's 24 in review.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
I think a lot of us thought Scott Peterson, the Scott Peterson connected to Lacey Peterson, would be behind bars for the rest of his life, and maybe he will be. The LA Innocence Project, though, has recently taken up the case without a whole lot of commentary as to why they want to take up this case. We reached out to them, and they simply said, we're not going to make any comments at this point in time. But some of the statements that have been made point to possible new evidence supporting Scott Peterson's version of the story that he did not kill Lacey Peterson. It's kind of an interesting thing when you have a Innocence Project group getting behind you. Here to discuss, Eric Fadis, attorney. Eric, what do you make of this? The LA Innocence Project getting behind someone like a Scott Peterson. Is there something big that we don't know about, or do they just need some extra attention right now? So why not go with Scott Peterson?
Well, yeah, I mean, this announcement grabbed the attention of the nation in part because of the reputation of the Innocence Project. By and large, I mean, depends on who you talk to, but most folks would say the Innocence Project is pretty reputable and credible, and they get behind things that they think are important and cases that they think they might be able to overturn. And so when they got aboard the Scott Peterson case, everyone was like, whoa, wait a second. We thought this guy was completely guilty. Now, I think there are still some remaining questions, and we'll see if we get answers to those questions in the coming months.
What do you think some of the remaining questions are? And what do you think they're digging into here in this case that maybe were overlooked in Scott's trial?
You know, one thing that's coming up, at least according to Scott's prior attorney, Garagos, who's like a famous criminal defense attorney, is that there was allegedly this burglary that took place across the street from Lacey Peterson's home. There's a dispute as to exactly when it took place. Mm-hmm. But according to Scott Peterson's team, it took place on the day that Lacey Peterson disappeared. And the theory is that perhaps Lacey Peterson witnessed this robbery, and was killed because of it. Now, I guess there was some blood-soaked mattress in a van nearby that was found that they think is associated with the burglary. And the Innocence Project wants to test that for DNA to see if Lacey Peterson's DNA is on it.
I guess, why was that not done in the past?
Yeah, good question. You know, 2004 was a different time, man. That was,
20 years ago, which is insane to think of.
I know. Yeah, I was still in high school. This was back in the day. And so DNA was still kind of in its infancy, was still developing. And so there wasn't as much forensic testing like that took place. Thankfully, that there have been materials that have been preserved, and hopefully they are still in a testable fashion now.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we all want justice. If for some reason Scott Peterson did not do this and just has absolutely horrible optics and decision-making powers, but didn't commit the murder, then this should certainly be looked at. But do you think Scott was found guilty more so because of his character than the evidence itself in the case? I mean, the circumstantial evidence is there. And I know a lot of people, circumstantial evidence. Again, the analogy is simple. You look outside your window at night, there's nothing on the ground. You wake up in the morning, there's snow. That's circumstantial evidence that it snowed. Even if you didn't see it snowing, it obviously snowed, unless the snow cone truck decided to go drop all of its ice off in your front yard. Highly unlikely. Could it happen? I guess. But that's circumstantial evidence. This is someone who really was painted in a horrible light, but not necessarily, I think, with much effort. His actions were pretty horrible. Having the affair with Amber Fry, all the lies that he told. He went fishing in the same lake that his wife and an unborn child were found in, way out of the way. Wasn't even accurate on what he said he was fishing for. I mean, there were so many things that just never really truly added up, which could, in theory, point that Scott is just a really horrible, malignant narcissist and has no emotions or feelings. And once Lacey was gone out of the picture, it was a green light for him to take up this next relationship without much thought or feeling for the previous. Some people are just wired that way. It's fucked up, but it's true. But that could possibly be the case. You know, is there credence? Could that possibly be the story here, that this is just really is a really bad dude But you know, the pieces all came together to paint a much darker picture than what reality really was.
Yeah, you know, it's important to think about it. Is Scott Peterson guilty of killing Lacey Peterson and his unborn child, or is he just have, you know, bad luck and he's a bad dude and he just got a bad shake? And oh, how sad for Scott Peterson. I'm not so sure about all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is important to mention, you know, there was the affair, there was infidelity, there was inconsistent statements by Scott Peterson. There was a lot of ammunition for people who, you know, maybe just didn't like him to kind of hang their hat on and say, hey, look, this guy is a scoundrel and I don't like him. And I'm going to vote for guilty. Did that happen in the deliberation room? I have no clue, but I'm sure that the Innocence Project is looking into whether he was convicted based on his character as opposed to his action.
What sort of path? I mean, we're just theoretically talking here because the Innocence Project is not saying anything about this as of yet, other than they're taking up the case. What potential path, you know, does an organization like this have to help Scott Peterson or influence a path forward for him?
Sure. So when a person is convicted, that they kind of have multiple next steps that they can consider. There's a direct appeal, which has already happened. But there's also things like a habeas corpus petition, which is really just kind of a Hail Mary. It's sort of saying, hey, look, we've got some new stuff. We know there was a conviction, but we really think this new evidence calls into question that conviction. And so, court, you've got to look at this again and consider a new trial. And I think they're going to go the habeas route and see if that long shot is going to get Scott Peterson freedom.
Is this an attempt at just that, at a new trial, not just an overturning of the verdict, not something that would set him free, but let's retry this with the new evidence? And what type of evidence, what's the bar are we talking about here for a court to say, yeah, that's pretty good? Is it a bloody mattress that has DNA on it that was found that was never taken a look at in the first round?
I don't think any of the possible new evidence that some reports have referenced would result in a complete reversal of the conviction and no new trial. That's pretty unlikely. Mm-hmm. That usually happens when there was like structural error or like, you know, the defendant did not get a fair trial on a fundamental level. Here, what we have is potentially some additional evidence that broadens the view of what may have happened. And I think that the best Scott Peterson can hope for in this effort is to get a new trial, to get a new jury, put that alleged new evidence in front of that new jury and say, hey, now is there reasonable doubt? Jury, you tell me.
And with what we know, because obviously all of the things that have come up and we just, you know, scratched the surface of the circumstantial evidence here. There's a lot that points to Scott Peterson being the one who did this. All those things, I'm sure, would get brought back up in trial, likely. But, you know, if you add a little extra piece in here, essentially, you're just going for reasonable doubt because there's already so much that points it this way. But if you can get that slight bit of reasonable doubt, there's nothing I think that truly is going to be out there that exonerates him. I guess I could be wrong on that, but likely not. Is this simply, let's really hope we can create enough reasonable doubt that will change the verdict for Scott Peterson with something like a mattress or what have you?
That's what it seems like to me. You know, it's like ironclad alibi defense or something where they have a witness who's going to say, no, Scott Peterson was with me and we took photos and we documented it. And it proves he was not there when Lacey Peterson disappeared. I don't think it's anything like that. I think, like you said, they're looking for kind of this morsel of reasonable doubt. And really, that's all they might need at a new trial. If they can convince even one juror that Scott Peterson is not guilty, that could result at least in a mistrial, could have the prosecution sort of reconsidering, hey, do we want to go forward and continue to try to lock this guy up? Or do we reach some kind of deal? He's been in prison for years and years anyway.
Are you surprised at all that the Los Angeles Innocence Project would take up a case like this with that being the approach? I mean, oftentimes you see projects like this take up cases where it's like just true exoneration, where it's like, truly, this person did not do it. We have really solid evidence to show it. This seems like, you know, kind of, you know, tricky maneuvers that are going to be going on just to kind of create some doubt when there's a lot more evidence that points towards guilt than not. This isn't that clear cut. Yes, you got these guys off because they really, you know, they should be set free or he should be set free. This just still seems like you're really, it's so very iffy at the end of the day, even if there is a trial and for a project like that to be behind it. I don't know, it just doesn't seem characteristic of an organization like that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. And you're touching on a critical distinction in the law, and that's the distinction between someone who is innocent and someone who's not guilty. So innocent is like, you didn't do it and you should be exonerated. Someone who's not guilty is like, there's not enough evidence to convict them beyond a reasonable doubt. Or put in another way, there is reasonable doubt in the case, so you can't convict this person. Usually the Innocence Project goes for the former, the people who are factually innocent. And at least based on the reports we have so far, I just don't see the new evidence rising to that level, but there's more time.
Yeah, unless they're going to change the name to the Los Angeles Not Guilty Project. But I guess anything
doesn't have the same ring, right?
Not quite.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.